In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
David said to the Philistine, "You come to me with a sword, with a spear, and with a javelin. But I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. This day, the Lord will deliver you into my hand, and I will strike you and take your head from you. And this day I will give the carcasses of the camp of the Philistines to the birds of the air and the wild beasts of the earth. And all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. Then all this assembly shall know that the Lord does not save with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
I believe I may have made a grievous error. We should have been singing every single week since last March, "A mighty fortress is our God, a trusty shield and weapon. He's by our side, upon the plain, with his good gifts and spirit. Take they our life, goods, fame, child, wife, let these all be gone, they yet have nothing won. The kingdom ours remaineth, though devils all the world should fill, all eager to devour us, we tremble not, we fear no ill, they shall not overpower us. We are Christians, and the words of a mighty fortress anchor our faith, not in ourselves, not in princes, but in Christ, the eternal Son of God, who by his death and resurrection has defeated the Goliath of sin, death, and hell." Well, we sang it today. Memorize it. Temptation is what Jesus faced in the wilderness for 40 days and 40 nights. And at the heart of that temptation was this foundational lie: God cannot be trusted. This is the basis of every temptation. You cannot rely upon God. Look at what's happening to you in your life. God doesn't love you. Just look around. God will not take care of you. God will not protect you. God will not save you. It's all the same thing. God cannot be trusted. Oh, it doesn't mean that we will not suffer. We will suffer. It doesn't mean there will be no sickness or death. There will be. But for us as Christians, our faith is in the Lord Jesus, in life and in death, in times of joy and in times of suffering. If Adam and Eve failed to withstand the serpent's temptation in the Garden of Eden, how much weaker are we since our fall into sin? So stanza two that the choir sang of a mighty fortress really is the theme for the second Sunday of Lent. With might of ours cannot be done. Let that sink in. We actually believe that as Christians. Soon were our loss affected, but for us fights the valiant one, our champion, whom God himself elected. Ask ye who this is? Jesus Christ it is, of Sabaoth, Lord, and there's none other God. He holds the field forever. Jesus is our champion in temptation, in suffering, in hardship, under the cross of affliction, and in the face of death. Today we celebrate Jesus' victory over the evil one. Every time we are afraid, every time we are filled with anxiety, every time we lose our patience, every time we are threatened by terrible sickness, the pangs of a guilty conscience, threats to our earthly possessions, assaults upon our good name and reputation, God invites us to trust him. and to pray the words of the Lord's Prayer. Deliver us from the evil one. And this prayer directs us to rely upon Jesus, who has defeated Satan for us. Do you know how? When we speak about him redeeming us from the power of the devil. The devil was the devil's power was God's own word. The day they eat of it, they will surely die. So the Son of God, our strong man, steps in the breach and he takes our death by taking our sin. And thereby he vanquishes Satan of any authority over us whatsoever. Jesus is our champion. And our Lord faced Satan in the wilderness and throughout his earthly ministry. Time and time and time again, the evil one came against him with the temptation. You cannot trust God. Your Father in heaven does not love you. He has abandoned you to suffering and death. That's what Satan attacked Jesus with as he hung upon the cross. It is as if the devil were saying to him, see, you don't feel the Father's love, do you? You are forsaken. You feel the spiritual and psychological and physical realities of being separated from your Father. He's turned his face against you. He cannot be trusted. That was the relentless assault upon Jesus as he hung upon the cross. In the Garden of Gethsemane, he faced the onslaught. But as the darkness of our sin and the judgment of God's law against sinful man descended upon our Lord Jesus, he remained steadfast. He remained steadfast. Jesus did what Adam, even from his state of innocence, failed to do. Trust God. He remained steadfast in the faith, and he trusted in the Father's word and in absolutely nothing else. It wasn't that he trusted in the Father's word and hedged his bets someplace else. No, he gave his very life and being in faith to the Father. I know how this Sunday is often used, and there is a good point to it. Jesus gives us an example in the face of temptation. That is true. In the temptation of our Lord in the wilderness, Jesus wielded the only weapon we have against Satan, God's word. And it is not wrong for us to see that as an example or a pattern for our own life. God's word not only drives the evil one away, God's word is the very thing that creates and sustains faith against the assaults of the devil who wants to destroy that faith. So yes, we could look to Jesus as an example, a pattern of how to battle against Satan. But that's not the focus I want for you this morning. More than that, I want you to see Jesus as your champion, your lowly shepherd like David, who with the simple, smooth stone of God's word sunk that word squarely into the skull of the evil one and vanquished him, destroying all authority and power over you. That's what I want you to focus on. Jesus is the one who believed when you doubted. He is the one who held fast to God's word when you and I so easily let God's word slip through our fingers. I want you to see Jesus as the faithful, strong man who has bound Satan by being faithful unto death and who proclaims his victory to you for your comfort, peace, and strength against the evils of this world and the forces of darkness that even under the cross of affliction or physical infirmity, you might know that peace and rejoice in the joy of your salvation. Because as David said to Goliath, the Lord will give this victory. You come to me with sword and spear and javelin, I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts. Jesus is our champion. When the evil one tempted him in the wilderness, he confessed to Satan what he was doing for us. When confronted by hunger and thirst, Jesus responded, man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. In that word, Jesus not only quoted the sacred scriptures, but he was also confessing his faith in the Father's word. Even if every earthly comfort and necessity failed him, my Father will not let me down. I will trust his word above all things, even in want, in need, in suffering, and in death. And he did this for you. When the devil twisted God's word and invited Jesus to throw himself down from the pinnacle of the temple to see if God would rescue him, and mangled God's word in order to try to make that point, Jesus responded, you shall not tempt the Lord your God or put him to the test. What does Jesus' response mean? In his future passion, just 3 years from the time of this wilderness encounter, when he would be called to suffer the horrible death of crucifixion, he would receive this punishment on our behalf. But while receiving a punishment and a judgment that Jesus did not deserve, he would not accuse his Father of doing wrong. Jesus trusted in his Father's protection and in the truthfulness of his Father's word, even though he would be made to suffer the horrors of hell for us, he would confess what faith always confesses, what God ordains is always good. From the devil's point of view, to suffer in such a way as Jesus did upon the cross would mean that God is not keeping his promise. The very promises that Satan quoted to Jesus in the wilderness. He shall give his angels charge concerning you. In their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone, and yet your heel is crushed upon the altar of the cross. He doesn't love you. But from Jesus' point of view, the Father's word and spirit sustained him when there was nothing else to believe in. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, God's word is the only thing that can sustain us. The only thing. The only thing. From Jesus' point of view, God kept his promise by preserving Jesus in suffering and death, by accepting his sacrifice on our behalf, and by raising Jesus from the dead on the third day. And finally, when the devil offered Jesus all the kingdoms of this world if he would but worship the evil one, he was once again tempting Jesus to turn away from the cross. There's got to be an easier way, a better way than suffering and dying. In this temptation, it is as if the evil one were saying to him, you cannot trust your Father's will. There is an easier path to redemption. Take of the fruit and you'll be like God. He already was the Son of God in human flesh. Yet the devil persisted. There's an easier path to redemption, one that will not involve suffering, one by which you could be spared the bitter pangs of death. It is not God who is the liar, but Satan. It is not God who cannot be trusted. It is the evil one. He never speaks the truth, and even when he seems to be, he always twists it. and his lies always end in death. And they end in a suffering that is worse than any pain that we could experience in this world. What Satan offers is the pain of eternal separation from God forever. Jesus said, "What shall it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul?" It profits him nothing. Yet we are all tempted to it. But not Jesus. He is your champion. Jesus' reply to the devil is blunt and direct. "Away with you, Satan! For it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve." Again, these words are not only quotations from the sacred scriptures, but they are also Jesus' own words, his own faith, by which he confessed absolute trust in his Father, especially in the face of his own suffering and death upon the cross. And that's what worship is, to trust him above all things. Jesus is your champion. He slew Goliath for you. His faith in his Father never wavered, even though he suffered the horrors of hell upon the cross. He remained the man of faith to the end. There is not a temptation that you or I have ever faced or ever will face that Jesus did not himself endure for you. And because of Jesus' faithfulness unto death, the words of the Catechism are true. God tempts no one. Never does he say to you, "Do not trust me." Never. We pray in this petition that God would guard and keep us so that the devil, the world, and our sinful nature may not deceive us or mislead us into false belief, despair, and other great shame and vice. Although we are attacked by these things, we pray that we may finally overcome them and win the victory. Jesus is your champion. That's what I want you to think about today. From beginning to end of your salvation in life and in death, don't place your confidence in your faith. That is to say, your act of believing. Place your confidence entirely in your champion, the Goliath slayer, the victor in temptation, our faithful high priest who intercedes for us in the hour of temptation on the basis of his victory over the evil one. And this day, hear the invitation of the apostle. We do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting.